Welcome to Osteocast, where we talk all things osteopathy, functional anatomy, and movement. With your hosts, myself, Colby Brokel,
Amanda Boysen,
and Sarah Pucal.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Osteocast. So today we're going to have a little bit of a discussion on circulation and the importance of circulation and how we can improve our circulation and lymphatic drainage and everything related to that with moving our bodies. So often we get asked if people should go see a lymphatic drainage specialist, if that's something they should ask for specifically in their massage. So it's important just to bring some clarity to the conversation. So anytime you move your body, you are helping your lymphatic drainage. So if we talk about lymphatics, there's little nodes or clusters that sit in all the folds of your body. So we're talking in the elbow crease, the knee crease, through the inguinals on the front of the pelvis. And all those little nodes are kind of what gather the lymphatic fluid that gets released from the bloodstream and just extracellular fluid that doesn't need to be in the body anymore. And that gets pulled all the way through the body to get cleaned up and dropped into the lymphatic ducts that sit under the collarbones, left and right side. So how do we get our lymphatics to move a little bit better? By having some movement. So that can be simple as walking, biking. Obviously, it can be a little bit more intensive, like weightlifting. But anything that just gets circulation moving a little bit better. So I know that's a big question I get in clinic. Do you guys hear that as well regarding kind of just lymphatics and how you can improve the lymphatics? As that's kind of hot topic right now.
Yeah, it's something that I have people ask a little bit regularly when they talk about lymphatic drainage, especially when they have local or globalized edema, when they have swelling in their hands or their feet or their legs, and they've been told that lymphatic drainage is something that will be helpful. And oftentimes manual lymphatic drainage can be helpful, but it doesn't necessarily fix the reason or help the reason why there's edema there in the first place. It just helps drain it out as it goes. So if they have a chronic condition that's limiting it, then of course lymphatic drainage can be helpful just to get some of that product and the fat that's stored in the lymph, et cetera, moving, just because if there's lack of movement, then you'll have more swelling, potentially infection and all kinds of things. So I find it can be very useful in those scenarios. But when it comes to the body functioning well, movement patterns and daily movement is going to be the biggest thing for lymphatic drainage. So obviously, osteopathically, structurally, the body needs to be in good working order to make sure that none of those areas of nodes or even the pathways for the lymphatic drainage is restricted or occluded in any way. So you need to make sure that the body in general is working well. We need to make sure that the diaphragm and the other pumps of the body are working well, because that's part of what helps move that fluid, just like venous blood. Changes in the pressures, just like we talked about in pressure dynamics, will help improve that movement. And then also, as Sarah mentioned, those nodes or those clusters of nodes tend to be in the folds of the body, and folds of the body are areas that have a lot of movement. So if we don't initiate some level of physical activity or movement on a regular basis, it will also limit the movement of those fluids or lymphatic drainage in the body. So something as simple as a walk will go a really, really long way as far as getting fluids movement. It doesn't have to be anything intense, but sitting on the couch or sitting at your desk working all day is not helpful necessarily to that.
For sure. I often have conversations with clients surrounding, like, how often do you put your hands above your head in a day? And how often are you moving your arms in circles? Because I think there's a lot of people who typically sit at a desk, or maybe they drive for a living, or they have to commute to and from work, where those simple movement patterns don't happen enough to create a good pumping mechanism to move fluid through. Yeah. And long term, that just becomes such an issue. So I think the important takeaway for clients is that you are the hero in your own journey here, and you need to make sure that you are making an effort or putting in some time and effort to make sure that your body moves outside of your regular patterns in a day. Yeah. Because otherwise it is kind of a use it or lose it thing. And then things that fluid will build up, get sluggish, won't move as well, and that will have long-term effects on your body elsewhere. So as much as we can seek out that lymphatic treatment, and that's incorporated in osteopathic treatment, we need to make sure that as an individual, you are being a helpful participant in your own healing journey.
Yeah. And I think another thing to mention is that in a body in good working order, you shouldn't require extra or outside or external work for lymphatic drainage. So as long as the yes. body's working well and moving well, that shouldn't be a requirement that has to be done just to get things moving and in quotation marks, clean things up. It should be something that happens completely naturally. And that should be the goal of any patient. Obviously, there are limitations based on their health histories and the conditions and things that they've gone through in life. But the goal with any patient will be to have the body in good working order so they don't require that external help.
And that can be tied in as well with overall circulation. So not just lymphatic drainage, but making sure that we're having good venous return through the body. As we know, the lymphatic system and the venous system don't actually have their own pumps like the arteries do. So our body relies on, there are some veins that sit close to the arteries that kind of piggyback on the arterial pumps to keep them moving. But it does rely on movement, like we've been talking about, to make sure that we have good circulation happening through the body. So that's why it is important to kind of do those little, even 5 minutes scattered throughout your day to take those breaks from the computer. Like Amanda mentioned, arms overhead, or even just to stand up and do 5 squats will do wonders from a improving circulation perspective.
And when we bring this back to like a movement pattern side of things from an individual, it's about finding the movement patterns that feel sticky and maybe not smooth for you and working through those. No one's asking you to be able to sit in the bottom of a squat for an extended amount of time or lift a whole bunch of weight. But the goal is to find the patterns that aren't working well for you, with maybe that's the help of your practitioner kind of identifying those for you and making you aware of them. And then just working to get those things to move a little bit better. Because like Colby said earlier, a walk goes a long way, but if you aren't using your shoulder girdle properly, then maybe there's some rib mechanics that are affected in that. And then as a result, you're not seeing the clavicle and the first rib move well, and then that drainage is backing up. So we want to make sure that, as a practitioner myself, I want to make sure that we clean those things up, but then also make the client aware of just small little things that they're able to do to be able to help the process.
Yeah.
That's specific to them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So if we bring this back to the osteopathic table, when you come into the clinic, oftentimes we do have some active movement we run through, whether that's standing or seated. And we are looking and physically touching the body and seeing how is that tissue texture. And so tissue texture tells us if there's any fluid being retained in the body. So again, that fluid retention goes back to that lymphatic system. So is that lymphatic pumps working as well as they can be? We don't want to feel any kind of edema or squishiness to the tissue, but we also don't want it to be hard and almost dehydrated. So there's kind of that Goldilocks middle that we're looking for when it comes to assessment and treatment. And our treatment on the table incorporates the full body, as you know. So we might not be only focused on the lymphatic system, but it is something that we do take into account regarding the treatment process. And sometimes we need to just focus on drainage in the body before we can even start figuring out what the main cause of dysfunction is, because there is so much swelling or lack of fluid drainage.
Yeah. So sometimes what you'll see in those patients when you're going through your assessment, obviously you'll see the edema, as Sarah's talking about, and sometimes you'll see bogged down slower movements and the tissues responding slowly because of that extra extracellular fluid. Because basically what will happen is the lymphatic system is separate in its own, but it will try and pick up and carry fluids that the venous system hasn't been able to do in the extracellular fluid. And if the lymphatic system can't pick up the excess and move it, then you'll find more extracellular fluid or more swelling in the area. And typically you'll see that slows down how the body moves and makes it a little bit spongy. But it also allows a buildup of waste products and other things, which may cause irritation to the nerves and may cause irritation to the tissue and or change the tissue's contractile ability. So when you're going through that movement assessment, when you see that kind of boggy or slow movement from the body, sometimes that can be indicative of some backlog if it's coupled with other symptoms we talk about or other components. So when you're doing that assessment or when you're going through your assessment, it's just really important not only to look at the movement mechanics of the body, but also the texture of the tissue, as well as the quality of movement opposed to just the gross action of the movement itself.
And in saying that too, you might find that the clients are uncomfortable moving through those ranges of motion when there is that kind of swelling or extra fluid in that space. So just being mindful to do a patient active assessment prior to doing patient passive, if you're concerned about that at all, because it might surprise you what that range of motion looks like from their perspective before they hit a barrier of discomfort or a point where they say, hey, you know, that's the only range I've got.
Yeah. And this talk is by all means not to say the lymphatic system is everything and you must treat it. It's definitely one of the components, and it's something that we've been asked questions on recently in clinic, and that's why we decided to have a chat about it. But I think it's important to take note with the lymphatic system anyways. If you don't have a education in it and or you're not familiar with its positions and patterns and how it works, then it's a good idea to pick up your textbook and take a look at it again, because it is its own system completely, and it is important to see and know where it is and how it functions and the pathways that it goes to give you some idea that when you do see that level of edema or backlog, why that might be there, just like when you're looking at other muscles or ligaments or tendons or organs and other things.
And just a note to say that, you know, even though the lymphatic system is its own system in an entirety, it doesn't work in isolation of everything else. So it is part of the system as a whole and needs to be treated as part of the system as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that was an awesome little review on just the lymphatic system, circulation generally, and then, of course, how movement is so important for the body to keep the systems working well. Thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode of OsteoCast.
Thanks for listening.
Wicked. Thank you.